It's been a busy month at the Arkansas legislature. State lawmakers now in their fifth week of the session. Lots of action on guns, abortion, and a billion-dollar super project. Roby Brock with our content partner Talk Business recently caught up with John Brummett, political columnist with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, to talk about a number of storylines playing out so far in this year's session.
This Republican majority in the legislature has become just the easiest thing for you to write about in your political columns, has it not?
I have not touched on a national issue in about, seems like a month now. I may want to do it, but something inevitably will happen at the session, and I'll write about a legislative issue. It's a wealth. It's a bonanza.
You should have wished for this Republican majority a lot sooner.
You think?
You could have.
Well, for work purposes, certainly, yes. For subject purposes.
All right, we're a month into the session, what was supposed to be called the Medicaid session, the tax cut session. It has become the guns and abortion session. Why do you think these social issues have come to the forefront so early and so quickly?
Because they're easier. Have you seen any polls about Arkansas's attitudes about guns and about abortion? These are extraordinarily easy, popular positions that the new Republican majority has taken to advocate rampant, universal use of armed weaponry and to restrict, perhaps even unconstitutionally, or certainly even unconstitutionally, the right of women to an abortion. Those are overwhelmingly popular positions and superficial public opinion in Arkansas. They're easier to get done. We've got Medicaid and whether to cut taxes and how to cut taxes and whether to expand, and fiscal issues are difficult. You have to get down with some mathematics and make those work. That's all deferred to later. Right now, this stuff is politically easy.
You have written a lot about Senator Jason Raypert. He has been one of the leaders on charging forward with some of this abortion legislation. Are you just obsessed with Jason Raypert?
Who was that again?
Senator Jason
Raypert.
Oh,
yes, Jason Raypert, right. Well, maybe so. Maybe so, in a healthy way. I think he's sort of the face of a new kind of Arkansas politics that we need to keep an eye on. You know, a few years ago, before the state made the complete move to Republican control, there was a marginalized right wing of the Republican Party. People like Jim Bob Duggar, Jim Holt, they had their popular bases of support, but they did not prevail in the main in the Republican Party. Jason Raypert is of that school, just with a little better haircut maybe and a little better playing of the fiddle. And so he gives a better veneer to that kind of extremism, and it is a politics that can prevail with the numbers now because of the majority. So he bears watching. The fetal heartbeat abortion bill is an extreme bill, more extreme than anything in the country. There are thousands of ways to restrict abortion and to make a statement about abortion, but this one is, I think, even the governor, who's timid about saying these sort of things, has now said it's blatantly unconstitutional. So he represents to me with a certain ability to certain sales ability. He represents to me the face of a new mainstream, which only a few years ago was extreme. And I sort of, it's important to me to keep my eye on that.
Well, you've brought the governor up, and you have written about Governor Mike Beebe and Senator Jason Raypert in this holy, unholy alliance mm-hmm. that they may have. You've got him fighting Raypert supposedly mm-hmm. on this abortion bill.
Well,
at the same
really?
Time, he's made him the lead sponsor on his grocery tax cut, his signature piece yeah. of legislation. Is this grand strategy on Beebe's part, or is this the only strategy he could play because of the cards that he's got with a Republican majority?
You know, you're asking me the thing that everybody in the Capitol is asking. For background, the centerpiece of the governor's apparent legacy is his continued drawdown of the grocery tax. In this session, he has tabbed as the sponsor of the bill in the Senate, Jason Raypert, the same fellow I was just talking about as the face of the new extreme/mainstream of the Republican Party. And a lot of Democratic senators are wondering, why did he do this? But one Democratic senator said to me, it will all be revealed to us in time, as if the governor, Beebe is a tactician. He's a strategy guy. He's willing to go along and do a little something here that looks like that's kind of a feint for some other. What did he extract from Raypert? We don't know. We expect something, but it's the great mystery of the session. What has agitated me about it is that a man who is the face of an extreme socially conservative bill has now been granted by the Democratic governor this compassionate face of this effort to relieve people of their grocery taxes. There are a lot of Democrats who are offended that the governor has done this, and we all are simply waiting and wondering, was there a reason and how will it be manifest? And we don't know yet.
As we tape here on Friday afternoon, we have learned that the much-hyped Medicaid audit report has come out, not nearly as explosive as it was led mm-hmm. to believe that it was going to be. There are some isolated incidents of some abuse and some single kind of things that are pulled out. But what do you make of the fact that this legislative audit report did not come out as explosive as it was hyped to be, in terms of, we were told it was going to be hundreds of millions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse? That is not in this document.
No, and I can't imagine why it was overhyped in the beginning by leaked information from Republican legislators, and then delayed, and then Democratic forces or the governor's forces managed to get, or the human services people managed to get it tamed. It's all part of what I think is happening on the Medicaid issue in this session, and that is that the new Republican majority wants to be able to say that we, before they even think about expanding it, we fixed it now. We fixed existing Medicaid. There are inefficiencies in it. There are elements of fraud. There are people who get put on Medicaid who shouldn't. It is an important step, and I think this audit was just part of sort of a scenario that's been laid out.
Are you saying it was maybe some political theater?
Yes. I think it was a great deal of political theater. But if here's what the human services people are saying. If it gets us to expansion of Medicaid, which they believe is vital and important for the state, then we are willing to, yes, confess that there are inefficiencies in this audit, and we will do everything we can to fix them. And that is what we're going through right now. And there's really nothing in the world wrong with it. If there are folks going to a hospital and getting steered to Medicaid who shouldn't, everything's right about fixing that. Mm-hmm. And if this is a phase that we endure in order to get to a climate where we can look at expanding Medicaid, then it's all for the good, I think.
We have seen some Republican governors just this week come out in support of Medicaid expansion. Do you think that is carrying any sway with Republican legislators at the state capitol?
I have written, and nobody has told me it was wrong, which doesn't mean it was right. It's just that nobody's told me it was wrong, that Medicaid expansion has now been sold. The sale, conceptually, the sale has been made. We're just arguing about the price. We're arguing about to what extent will it be expanded, to whom will it be expanded, and what do we do about fixing Medicaid in the interim, and do we do it in a regular session, or do we do it in a special session, or we do it in the next fiscal session? You will notice most of the discussions are not about the conceptual wisdom of it. I think that we are inevitably in a position in which we're going to expand it. It's a case of how much and when and with what sort of waivers from the federal government.
Ruby Rock talked with John Brummett, political columnist with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, last week after the completion of the fourth week of the Arkansas Legislature's business. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
Defense spending takes up a huge chunk of the federal budget, so whether the sequester takes effect on March 1st or not, the Pentagon's purse is on the line. I'm Neil Conan. Weapons procurement, force levels, health and retirement benefits, former Pentagon official Michelle Flournoy and NPR's Tom Bowman on the future of funding the Department of Defense. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.